This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Trump is angry with Putin. We're going to talk about that, and we'll get to Tom Homan's security detail and female Secret Service agents and all that and so much more coming up in the final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. So Trump, I think this was yesterday, I believe, Trump announced that he's not happy with what Putin is doing. The audio is a little rough because he's out. I believe he's out on the tarmac at the time. But Putin, during supposed peace negotiations, ceasefire negotiations, still launching missiles into Ukraine, Trump came out and said this.
I'm not happy with what Putin's doing. He's killing a lot of people. And I don't know what the hell happened to Putin. I've known him a long time. Always gotten along with him. But he's sending rockets into cities and killing people, and I don't like it at all, okay? We're in the middle of talking, and he's shooting rockets into Kiev and other cities. I don't like it at all.
What's he doing? We're in the middle of talking, and he's shooting rockets into cities. Well, there, I believe, is a misunderstanding here. And it's a misunderstanding that is understandable. Isn't that a terrible way to put that? But just stay with me here. People who have a gift or experience in something will oftentimes use that and ride that for everything in their lives. Let me ask you this. For instance, have you ever known a career military guy? And I'm talking about a guy who was a grunt for a long time of some kind, or one of these guys who was a Green Beret for 20 years or something like that. So this is a guy who has spent years and years and years of his life in combat, training for combat, acquiring survival skills, shooting skills, just becoming a military beast. Now, I bet you know somebody like that, don't you? How often does he talk about surviving a coming war, surviving the apocalypse, training with your weapon? Now, all these things are good. I'm not down. But for that guy, every single thing can be solved using military solutions. And he knows for a fact that one day he'll have to use his military training again. Why? That's all he's ever known. That's all he's ever known. Health-wise, have you ever known one of these people? Essential oils is actually a great one. I know for a fact you know a woman who started selling and or using essential oils at some point in your life. Maybe that is you. Maybe you are that woman. But you know one, don't you? You know one. Now, I'm not dogging on essential oils. I'm not obviously super experienced with them. But this person you know who all of a sudden got into essential oils, did they ever bring it up? Chris just laughed. Oh, you mean they bring it up all the time? For everything? Oh, man, I've got my back hurts. Hold on, I've got the eucalyptus oil for that. Oh, man, I've got the sniffles. Oh, well, that's because you're not using the lavender oil that mixed with the spearmint oil. That everything has an oil solution for Donald Trump. Donald Trump is incredible at foreign policy. He's just really good at it. He was great at it during his first 4 years. He's been great so far. Why? Why is Donald Trump good at foreign policy? Donald Trump is an international businessman. That's how he has lived his life. Donald Trump's entire life since he was a young man has been spent in boardrooms, meeting with other rich, powerful men, and figuring out a way everybody can work together. Let's make a deal. He wrote the book, The Art of the Deal. Let's make a deal. And so when he gets into the office of the presidency, his foreign policy is unbelievably transactional. He just went to the Middle East. Qatar, Saudi Arabia, How many deals did he come home with? We just signed $1.2 trillion with them, and they're going to send us $500 billion. He's over there penciling deals. We're going to get along because we're going to make a deal. We're going to get along. We're going to make a deal. It'll be you'll make money, and I'll make money. And he's good at it, and it works. So for Donald Trump, all these foreign affairs can become business dealings. And for the most part, 99% of the time, look, the guy's the best I've ever seen. He's right. Look, they can act like they're angry with each other. Hey, why don't I get you some money? And then you'll get some money and we'll all make money. We'll make money and then we can stop fighting. Let's make money. He's right. It works. However, there are times when you're dealing with something that is not looked at as a business deal by all the parties involved. Let me ask you. Have you ever heard of the Hatfields and McCoys? You've heard of the Hatfields and McCoys. Everybody has. Everybody at least has seen Bonanza, but everyone's heard of the Hatfields and McCoys. If you haven't, the one-minute version of it is this. Mid-1800s, for about 30 years, this is like, I think it was like 1850-ish it started and went until 1880, something like that. That's not exact, but it's pretty close. There were families, Hatfields and McCoys. This is West Virginia / Virginia, depending on which family we're talking about here. And they lived in the exact same area. And there was all kinds of Civil War stuff that was in the background of all this. Again, I'm not going to go into all the details of it. But for 30 years, these two families hated each other. And there was something like 20 people in each family died over the course of 30 years. Violently, shootings, beatings, just a feud. Now, if you go to any American and ask them, what's the most famous, nasty feud in American history? 90% of Americans would tell, probably 95% would say, the Hatfields and McCoys. Everyone's heard of it. Even if you don't know what it is, everyone's heard of it. 30 years? 30 years isn't even chapter one on how long some feuds have been running on this planet. We don't always appreciate that because we don't realize how blessed we are to live in a country that had a different founding, that had a different view on things, that has operated differently than a lot of other countries in the world have operated. We are blessed. You are blessed. I am blessed. Trump is blessed to live here in America, where our oldest, most famous feud is like, 30 dead people over 30 years. That was 200 years ago. That's really the main one everyone would name. There are parts of this planet where regions, families, ethnicities, religions have been butchering each other for centuries. Ever heard of the Hundred Years' War? I'll give you two guesses as to why they called it that. You probably only need one. It wasn't even necessarily a war. It's just called the Hundred Years' War. It was two families going at each other, butchering each other, murdering each other. It was really more murders than war for 100 years, a century. Trump is frustrated with Vladimir Putin because Trump is, to his credit, trying to end all this butchery. Ukrainians are butchering Russians. Russians are butchering Ukrainians. Ukrainian cities are lying in ruin. Trump looks at this and he's mortified. And I totally get it. Mortified. Look at all these dead people. But you have to be very careful projecting your morality and values onto everyone, because eventually you're going to come across people who don't share those values.
With respect, Master Wayne, perhaps this is a man you don't fully understand either. A long time ago, I was in Burma. My friends and I were working for the local government. They were trying to buy the loyalty of tribal leaders by bribing them with precious stones. But their caravans were being raided in a forest north of Rangoon by a bandit. So we went looking for the stones. But in 6 months, we never met anyone who traded with him. One day, I saw a child playing with a ruby the size of a tangerine. The bandit
We'd been throwing them away.
So why steal them?
Well, because he thought it was good sport. Because some men aren't looking for anything logical, like money. They can't be bought, bullied, reasoned, or negotiated with. Some men just want to watch the world burn.
Maybe Zelensky isn't done fighting. Maybe Vladimir Putin isn't done fighting. Maybe they're enjoying this. Let's discuss that in a very frank, honest way in a moment. Before we discuss that, you better get your chalk up for this one. You better get your mind right for this one. Listen, chalk has changed my life. It has changed my life. It has changed my work life, my home life. What would change in your life if you were full of energy and focus and your mood was better all the time? Would that not change everything? We eat garbage. I certainly do. We drink garbage. It's in the water. We have to do something to fight back against that. But we have to do something natural. We can't counteract that by running to the doctor and asking for a prescription. Go to Chalk and start taking natural herbal supplements and make your life better. You are 90 days away from feeling like a completely different human being, a better one, a happier one, one whose mind works better. I could scream it from the rooftops how much I love Chalk. A male vitality stack has changed my life. Female vitality stacks for the ladies. Chocolate powder for the morning. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. Go get a subscription. We'll be back.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, absolutely wonderful Tuesday. We'll get to the RFK Jr. stuff, and I will talk about the Black Fatigue stuff here in a moment. I just want to finish up this thought, because Trump is angry with Putin because Putin's still firing missiles. Now, let's talk about Russians. Let's talk about this area of the world. One thing that really, really hits you when you dig into World War I and World War II is the masses of humanity these countries will throw into the meat grinder and just lose them and then go raise other masses. It's always blown me away. Masses of people that would cause a revolution in the United States of America. We're talking levels of death that we have never seen in this country ever before, ever. We've never seen that kind of death. And yet it's almost every other year. It's not every other year, but it happens all the time in places like Russia. This comes back to a conversation we have a lot about communists, about understanding when they don't share your values. We look at 500,000 people dead in Russia, Ukraine, and we say, well, surely you guys want to stop the fighting, right? Well, if Vladimir Putin's economy is fine, and rumor is it's doing very fine, if his economy is fine, if Vladimir Putin is not facing political pressure back home to stop the war, meaning his power is not in jeopardy, which in Russia, let's be honest, that means your life is in jeopardy. If Putin doesn't feel political pressure and his economy's doing fine, maybe Putin wants to keep fighting. And that, if that's the case, that would explain Trump's frustration, because Trump's in an impossible situation approaching this as if, hey, guys, we all want to stop the fighting, right? Let's just figure out how. Well, maybe we all don't.
I'm not happy with what Putin's doing. He's killing a lot of people, and I don't know what the hell happened to Putin. I've known him a long time, always gotten along with him. But he's sending rockets into cities and killing people, and I don't like it at all, okay?
You know they're currently building a superhighway between North Korea and Russia. Would you like to know why? Because Russia is buying so much military equipment from the North Koreans. Russians' economy is doing so well, they're buying vast quantities of military equipment, shipping it into Russia. And as we speak, let me ask you a question. What is the most battle-tested army, modern army, in the world? Russia. Oh, it can, oh, I realize it doesn't compare to us size-wise and things like that. But as far as modern armies go, between us and France and UK and China and all these, the real modern militaries, we're talking jets and satellites and things like that. The most battle-tested military on the planet now is Russia. If you're Vladimir Putin and you don't care about dead Russians and you don't care about dead Ukrainians and your political power is solid back home, why do you want this to end? What's it hurting you at all? And by and on the other side of it, if you're Zelensky and you're not facing a political coup, he's canceled elections just like Putin does. He's got solid political power. Go look at Zelensky's net worth now versus what it used to be. He's insanely rich. If you are not stressed out about dead Ukrainians, why do you want to stop it? You know, we all remember that Oval Office blow-up where Zelensky sat down with Trump and Trump was ready to pencil out a mineral deal and Zelensky, in some kind of coke-fueled rage, allegedly, loses his mind and starts screaming and yelling and blows the whole deal up. That sure looked to me like a man who didn't want to make a deal. When the deal's been done and all you have to do is sign on the dotted line, shut your mouth, grab a pen, say thank you, Mr. President, sign your name, and fly on your private jet back home. But when you don't do that, when you blow the whole thing up, maybe we should consider the fact he doesn't want to stop fighting. And this is exactly why George Washington and really all the founders warned without end against getting involved in any way in other people's wars. Have you ever made the mistake or seen someone make the mistake in your life of getting involved in someone's divorce? You ever known a couple? Or just a dude, you knew a dude who was getting a divorce or a girl was getting a divorce? Oh, I see you making that face, Chris. Have you ever decided to get involved? Hey, I'd love to sit down with you guys. Hey, Sarah, let's go have coffee and we'll talk about this whole thing. Let me ask you, honestly, how'd that work out for you? Work out pretty well for you? You have these two people who hate each other and have decided to tear each other apart and, you know, break everything up. And you decide you're going to hop in and mediate the whole affair. Did you get burned? At the end of that, let me ask. I'm honestly asking. You should see Chris's face right now. Well, I've done it too, Chris. Did both couples sit down or did both people sit down and say, hey, thanks? Hey, Bob, I just wanted to say thank you for trying to help out. Really, really appreciate you. Oh, it didn't work out like that? When you see a couple going through a divorce, you about face and you sprint the other direction as fast as you can possibly go. And you keep your nose out of it and keep your hands and your mouth to yourself. When other countries are going to war, they may not be motivated to end the war. And then you're just going to beat your head against the wall, frustrated, wondering why won't they stop. All right, enough of that. Everyone's talking about this new term that I haven't heard since like yesterday, but I'm going to explain what's going on. Black fatigue. Everyone's talking about it now. Let's talk about black fatigue. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. All right, now I want to address this because this is something that apparently is not going away. I had first heard the term last week, I think, and now I see it everywhere. Black fatigue, black fatigue, black fatigue. And so I saw this. It's a show called The Isaiah Factor. And it's this dude, he's a black dude, interviews a bunch of these black people and they're talking about it. And there's all kinds of debates. What is it? I'll let them speak. Here it was.
Well, basically, society is saying that they're tired of how black people are blaming things that have happened to us historically in the past on what's happening today. And they are also now adding different things that they have seen in society to that behavior as well. As she said, like loud mouthing or maybe, you know, using certain words or certain behaviors in public. So that's basically the definition in a short sense.
Do we get anywhere with that, with this?
And this.
Do we get anywhere with that, with this conversation?
No, this absolutely
okay, good night,
is
folks.
I mean, the thing is, it's an absolutely pointless conversation. It's like, okay, so now what? Thank you for letting us know that there's a new fancy word of you saying that you're tired of black people. Mm-hmm. And you put it on the internet, and now people are co-signing on it, you know, including with the way the environment is already. But it's okay. You put a nice new name to it. And
okay, let me explain what has happened out there. And I've used this example before, but it very, very much applies to what we're talking about here. Because I don't know that I would have called it black fatigue, but I see the exact same thing other people see. People don't want to hear it anymore. They don't want to hear the words racism, period. People roll their eyes now. They don't want to hear historic this, systemic, that they don't want to hear it. No, there is no longer any appetite. In America, that was extremely receptive to that to most of my life, extremely sensitive to that. If you even, this wasn't even a modern thing. If you thought or heard about a black person being dumped on for their race or something like that, that would immediately, wait a minute, whoa, that's not right. We don't want to be that. It would immediately prompt that. Now, all I ever see when that stuff comes up is sneers and eye rolls. Oh, here we go again. That's what you, oh, here we go. Here we go. We go. So let me explain what happened, and I'm going to lay it out as clear as I possibly can. People were already chafing to that prior to the George Floyd disaster, prior to George Floyd dying. But here's what happens. Legitimacy, as we've discussed, is your real power. The legitimacy people give you. The legitimacy people grant you, that is the power you truly have. How much do people trust you? How much do they listen to what you say? George Floyd died, and the black communists in the country, not all black people, that's ridiculous, but the black communists realized they had an opportunity to push their ball forward, and they did. But then it got worse. America, which had been fully ingrained with white guilt by this point in time, especially corporate America, universities, they saw this as an opportunity to get in on the action, to get in on the white guilt action, the poor black people action. They saw an opportunity, and they pounced on it. And so all these people pounced on it, and soon you have, they're writing articles in the paper bragging about how few white people have been hired in corporate America. Bragging about it. Yeah, we got the white people out of there. Well, what happened was you burned up. If you're involved in that movement, if you genuinely care about it, forget the commies aside. If you're involved in that movement, even if you weren't personally responsible, burned up the last of the legitimacy. Now you see, I'm starting to see it everywhere. Black fatigue and black fatigue. Jason Whitlock's talking about it. All these people are talking about it, how people are tired of it. That was the last of it. As I've explained, trust, legitimacy. It is not without end. And evil people, evil groups, always, they always seem to do this. They act as if it is without end. So if the people trust the FBI, the communists just naturally think we'll take over the FBI and we can do whatever we want with it, and we'll arrest school board moms and arrest pastors, and we'll get them. And since we're the FBI, that legitimacy will last forever. And now look, people hate the FBI. It didn't last forever. Now legitimacy's gone. Legitimacy is finite. Trust is really what we're talking about, is finite. And if you abuse it, you will lose it. And if you lose it, the power is gone. If you are a human being out there, whatever your color is, and you genuinely care about inequality, or let's just make it about black inequality, genuinely care about making black lives better, about wherever you see inequality, pointing it out, and this is a genuine concern for you, not some dirty communist power grab, but a genuine concern for you, I feel terrible for you, because you have no chance now. None. It's gone. They whip themselves up into a frenzy, all these dirty culture commies. After St. George Floyd died, they had all this power all of a sudden, all this corporate money, and they're burning down police precincts, and they just went ape. The country itself went crazy. And they lived high on the hog for, what was it, 6 months, I would say, all this craziness lasted? And for 6 months, life was good. Almost like somebody who went from being poor to winning $10 million. And for 6 months, it was boats, mansions, Las Vegas, blackjack table, baby. For 6 months, you abused it. But then after 6 months, you woke up one day, the money's gone, and there's nothing there but bills, and you're checking the bank account, and you don't understand what happened. It was finite. There was only so much of it. And right about the time all of corporate America and all the media and all the education system, every single part of the system decided to join in and crap on cops and crap on white people and do all this other crap, you thought it was your final victory? And the truth is, it was your final run at legitimacy. You thought you were on the cusp of victory, but because of how you acted in the wake of George Floyd's death, you ended the movement. You ended the movement. There is now that the appetite is gone for it. People have no time for it. I see people speak more openly about it now, of every color, white, black, Hispanic. People just speak openly about it now. They've had enough. They don't want to hear any more of this crap. They don't want to hear it anymore. And look, honestly, I thought this person made a really great point.
Right, Angela, let's hear from you. Your thoughts about this Angela. Black fatigue.
Well, with all due respect to Angela, number one, I really disagree with this. It is a completely behavior-based issue. And when white people, black people, Hispanic people are saying we have black fatigue because of the behavior of some black people, we've all seen it. We all know what it is. It's everywhere. And, you know, the issue is way more insidious than people realize. And I talk about how a lot of these things come back to what the Democrat Party has done to the black community purposefully, starting with the Great Society of Lyndon B. Johnson, who he famously said, I'm going to have these N-words voting Democrat for the next 200 years. When Democrats said you don't need fathers in the home, you can be on welfare and have as many babies as you want. And oh, by the way, we're going to destroy public schools and we're going to make sure that behavior standards are seen as racist. So the out of control behavior that we've seen in the classrooms, in society, all over, is part and parcel of what the Democrat Party has done to the black community.
All right.
It's not necessarily wrong. And it's a terrible state of affairs, but the George Floyd stuff made a lot of people feel very powerful, but they ended the movement. Fatigue is what it is. All right, I'm going to talk really quickly about the media and Trump, and then we'll do some headlines I didn't get to. I want to talk to this Tom Holman thing. I want to talk to you about Pure Talk first. I want to talk to you about saving money. That's one of the main reasons to switch to Pure Talk. Look, it's not the most important reason. The most important reason is it's a veteran-led company that hires Americans. I can't believe how rare it is now. You can't talk to an American anymore. Customer service, you just can't ever talk to one. Pure Talk, you can. Because Pure Talk is so patriotic, that's what they believe in. You hire Americans right here at home, American jobs, and yet you still save money? My bill got cut in half when we switched from T-Mobile to Pure Talk. Speaking of all the George Floyd stuff, why don't you do a little walk down memory lane and look what your mobile company was doing and saying back in that time? your talk wasn't involved in that, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse USA! Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Love, hate, death threats, whatever you would like. Great news here from RFK Jr. Credit where it's due.
I couldn't be more pleased to announce that as of today, the COVID vaccine for healthy children and healthy pregnant women has been removed from the CDC recommended immunization schedule. Last year, the Biden administration urged healthy children to get yet another COVID shot despite the lack of any clinical data to support the repeat booster strategy in children.
That ends today. It's common sense and it's good science.
There's no evidence healthy kids need it today, and most countries have stopped recommending it for children.
We're now one step closer to realizing President Trump's promise to make America healthy again.
There was never any evidence a child ever needed it, and I'm glad that long-lasting evil is gone. Speaking of long-lasting evil, CBS News, they're now doing reports on, hold on a minute, this is interesting. The headline is, Border Czar Tom Homan's security detail costs around $1 million a month. $1 million a month. That's an interesting thing for CBS to do a six-page report on. Why though? I wonder why the organization that covered for the trillions of dollars the Biden administration threw out the door, why would they all of a sudden stress about Tom Homan's security prices? I mean, after all, let's do remember what was taking place under Joe Biden. CBS never said a word.
From the loan program office in loans and commitments, $93 billion. Well over twice as much as in the previous 15 years. So
how do you vet and do due diligence on a loan in 76 days? How do you do it?
I think it's probably pretty clear it wasn't done in many cases. As I mentioned, I'm told I'm holding back clearly in place stuff. There is lots of funds that have gone out the door and commitments that were made from businesses that provided no business plan, no numbers about.
The Biden administration sent $93 billion in loans to unvetted countries out the door in the last 76 days of Biden's presidency after he lost the election. CBS didn't do a single report on it. Yet today you're reading a report about the cost of Tom Homan's security detail. Why? It's quite simple. Why? CBS wants Tom Homan hurt. It's not more complicated than that. It's not about the money. You know that. There's a reason if they had to focus in on the money, they focused in on Tom Homan's security. Tom Homan, who fields more death threats in a single day than you can possibly fathom. Always remember, behind the thin veneer they try to present to you, communists are inherently violent people who believe violent things should happen to you because you oppose their revolution. That's why they actually want to get your guns. It has nothing to do with the crime. That's why they do reports on Tom Homan's security detail. It has nothing to do with the money. The issue is the fact that these people want to hurt their political opponents, and they will do anything to make that happen. Now, hurting people is bad. Hurting in general is bad, and that's why I've told you repeatedly about Relief Factor. Relief Factor can remove the daily pain that plagues your life, that holds you back, that pain in your back, that pain in your foot, the pain in your chest. That pain sucks. And it's inflammation. Your body's trying to fight it. Your body needs help. Help is on the way. Relief Factor is 100% drug-free. Relief Factor is a supplement. You take it every single day. The longer you take it, the better it works. It builds up in your body, and over time, the pain just goes away. They are so confident, it's kind of bordering on cocky. They just sell you 3 weeks of it, $19.95. They're not trying to sign you up for a three-year subscription. $19.95. They say in 3 weeks you're going to feel better. Do you think that's worth $19.95 to try that? Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. All right? All right. Hey, Jesse Kelly, I really enjoy your show the most. It's on my radio. Did you know the Food Network show on TV used to have a recipe for homemade marshmallows? Oh, my gosh. Anyhow, this is Hi from one of your new listeners. I'm hanging on every show's word, she says. Homemade marshmallows sound fantastic. They can't be that. Hey, Chris, are marshmallows kosher? Can you people eat them? Surely you can. Is there? Depends on how they're made. Well, I don't think they're putting bacon in there or something. Why couldn't you eat it? What the? If they're made from bones? Marshmallows are made from bones? I didn't know that. Really? Well, why does it have to be pig bones, Chris? Maybe it can be some other kind of bone. Well, maybe you should ask your rabbi or somebody. I'm thinking we should try to make some homemade marshmallows is all I'm saying. I'm sorry for being respectful. It costs what at the store? Chris, oh, you're lecturing me about the costs, for one. Two, marshmallows at the store are pretty average. In fact, for the longest time, I thought I didn't care for marshmallows until I was in a restaurant. I don't remember which restaurant it was. And they were selling hot chocolates with a huge, like square marshmallow. They put it in the cup, then they pour the hot chocolate over it, and it was homemade. It was fantastic. I think those store ones are garbage. What, Chris? What? Give you the recipe? Chris, I'm not giving you any recipes until we finally try this mustard that you've promised us like a year ago. The audience was promised a mustard taste test, and I have been waiting here with bated breath to try this famous mustard that's going to be better. We promised a blind taste test, and Corey, I don't know about you. I haven't laid eyes on any mustard. Any mustard for you, Corey? Nothing, huh? No mustard. Chris, do you really make mustard? Or is this a lie? I know you've shown me pictures. You can say they're the pictures. I didn't properly vet the pictures. I don't know where those pictures came from.
And now,
here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Female Secret Service agents catfight outside of Obama's home. A reminder that what we've talked about a million times is true. DEI, it matters. It's not just in unimportant things. It's in very important things. And we've put some really scummy people in some really important roles. Campaign to end COVID shots for kids launches as study reveals post-COVID vaccine syndrome. Just want to remind you that the entire United States government, most state governments, and almost every public school in the country demanded you inject that poison into your child. We have actually run out of time, but we will be back tomorrow to do it again. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.